Last weekend, we sang the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Here are some of the words that we proclaimed. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. These are words of contentment. They are words of satisfaction. But who or what has led to this satisfaction? It was and is the Lord our God. It is He and only He who can give us that which truly satisfies. The compassion of our Lord God is beyond measure or understanding. And it is found in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In our Old Testament text, we hear our God calling us to the bread of His compassion. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Our Lord God has sent out a summons, a calling to every one of us. And not only to every one of us, but to everyone in the world to come and eat. This world tries in so many ways to make us think that it has just what we need to be satisfied. Come, drink this Mountain Dew or this iced tea, and you'll be refreshed. Come, eat this juicy steak or these fruit snacks, and you will be satisfied. Come try yoga to clear your mind. Come listen to false prophets. They have knowledge that your pastor doesn't have. But in every one of these cases, if you did them to be spiritually content, you would be left empty. You may feel something for a while, but ultimately you won't be content. You will be left wanting more. So God calls from our church, just as He did from the prophets, come, why spend your money for that which does not satisfy? God offers without money and without price. Ask any sales searcher or seeker, any bargain hunter, what their favorite words are. Perhaps they're even related to one. What are their favorite words? Clearance and free. And God offers not on clearance, but freely. Many today ignore or pass by God's word, refusing what He so freely offers. But they never know, just as we never know, when it might be the last invitation to come and hear. On the flip side, we must not come to believe that we are fully versed in the scriptures either. Luther comments here, let no one seem to himself to accomplish much in scripture and to have heard many things, since in spite of that, he loses the knowledge of the word in forgetfulness day by day. From there, let the mind be restored and re-cleansed as from a fog of ignorance, so that the heat and fervor in the word may increase against the gates of death. Where people have been especially trained in the word, there they are negligent. This is a common complaint of preachers. Such exhortation is therefore especially necessary, lest they fall into contempt and loathing of the word. What Luther is saying here is that not only do we have to worry about just passing by God's word, but becoming arrogant, thinking we know the entire word. I am 32 years old, and I can tell you that by Wednesday this week, I won't remember this text word for word. I won't remember the text from the lectern word for word. If you can, great, but are you able to do that for the rest of your lives? So Luther warns us and encourages us, as God calls us and encourages us, to come and hear His word often and frequently, because we don't want to forget it. God implores us through His prophet, listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David. Unlike the merchant that God sounds like in this passage, God is not talking about physical bread. He's not talking about the kind of bread that you can buy from County Market or Aldi's. He's talking about His Word. To His Word we are implored to listen diligently and to delight in. This is why we come to church. After all, you don't go to County Market or Aldi's to talk to the cashier or to talk to the other people wandering around the store. Sure, you might find somebody there to talk to, but why do you go? You go because they have what you need. They have the food that you need for this body and life. And so, too, God has everything that we need for our physical and spiritual body and life. He has His gifts. And so we don't come to church for the pastor or the people across the pew from you. We come for His gifts, His Word, His communion, for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. Yeah, sure, we talk to each other and have communion and community with one another. But we come for His gifts, and we do so together because we all believe and trust God's Word that He gives us these things freely. With the covenant, our God with us, it is He who has accomplished it all. There's nothing left to be done. Often in the Old Testament, a covenant would be made between two different parties. And in those covenants, in those pacts, each person of that covenant would have to do something. One person would say, I'm going to do this. And the other person would say, I'm going to do this. And then to seal the deal, kind of the handshake, they would split an animal and they would walk together between that animal to say, yes, I'm going to uphold that pact. Not so with God. God has done everything. He knows that we're not able to keep His commandments flawlessly and perfectly the way He desires, and so He did it all. God was the one who brought us to His Word by the working of His Holy Spirit. God was the one who fulfilled the law in our place, living in this world in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God was the one who won for us eternal life by His Son's death on the cross of Calvary. Of this, Jesus has been made a witness. As God said in our Old Testament text, behold, I made Him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. God has made Christ a witness of His victory over sin, death, and the devil. But more than that, God has declared, according to Luther's commentary, that the way in which the news will be spread will be through our witness. This is how Luther puts it. He says, Christ must reign among the nations by testimony. The emphasis is on witness. For Christ must reign through witnesses and testimony, that is, through the gospel. Again, he distinguishes the Old Testament from the New, since Christ leads and rules through the Word, not with weapons and armies. Behold you, whoever you were, will be gathered to Christ through witness and word. Thus he repudiates the Jews who do not want to believe the witnesses. He took to himself a people who were not a people, and he cast off the Jews, as Paul says. God calls you to hear His word without cost, offered freely for the sake of His Son, that you have been freely saved. But He doesn't make you hear it. He doesn't make you listen. There are many among us today, not just the Jews, but even groups calling themselves Christians, who pass by God's word, that He offers it freely. They want to have works righteousness. They want to earn it. They don't want to receive what He freely bestows. But God offers full forgiveness and salvation and all of these benefits for free on account of His Son's death and resurrection in your place and mine. This is the bread which truly satisfies. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.